on SEN, The Picks with David King and Sam Edmund.
Yes, hello everybody and welcome to The Picks. The Picks, are we going to have any picks? But it's all thanks to Bluebet, a cheeky little bluey. Sam Edmund with you again on a Thursday afternoon. What a great pleasure it is to look across at this man, the dual North Melbourne Premiership player, the bolter from the back line, David King. Welcome, Kingy.
Good afternoon, Sammy. You make me laugh. You are so...
We've been giggling a little bit.
Unorganised waltzing in here, well, the pair of us. We got a shock this afternoon.
Well, you got a shock.
I got a shock.
I gave you the shock. Why is that?
Well, the information at the end of last week's show was there wasn't going to be a game this weekend, so why would you have a show? I thought that was completely logical.
I received a different set of information.
When did you get this?
There is a show, and when I text you, this afternoon to say, "G'day, David, how are you going? See you in the studio." You responded with, "What? We're on." And then when I called you 5 minutes later, I said, where are you?
If you're going to stitch me up like this, I'll tell you what the real text you sent me was.
I said, where are you? And you said, I'm on the way. I'm on the way. Straight down Bell Street. All lights are green.
No Bell Street, but that does sound like the Ringwood Nissan, doesn't it? Hey? Actually, I better not go with that. They might not be happy with the speed.
No. As I say, it's the Picks. Great to have you company. Great to have you company again on Thursday. Sam Edmund, David King with you up until 7 o'clock. All thanks to Bluebet. You can bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download apps today. Gamble responsibly, David.
It is a strange weekend coming, though, isn't it?
How are you coping with the two-week sabbatical?
What are your thoughts?
Jarring, isn't it?
Do we lose a little bit of momentum?
A little bit.
Do you feel like it's hit the...
I think, obviously they've done it for a reason. It was the safety net that was thrown forward from the pre-finals buy, but now we don't need it. But they've been wedded to it. So we're running the gauntlet too, mind you. And we'll hear from Gil McLaughlin a little bit later on, but he did speak today about a whole range of issues. One of them was the doomsday scenario. Should we get a case in Perth next week? I don't know if there's been some sort of assurance from the Premier, Mark McGowan over there, or what the situation is, but... He wouldn't talk about a plan B today, Gil, other than to say he was just really looking forward to the game. Everything will be right. Nothing to see here, Kingy.
Well, would we have been better off just keep on rolling on?
Or if it's going to be like this permanently, let's put some bells and whistles on the... Let's put some decorations on the tree. If we're going to have no grand final, let's perhaps get around it in other ways. And we've got the Brownlow on Sunday.
If this were to be a planned... By, we would have the awards week this week, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think you just pack it with as many things as you can do.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. The winner is Sydney.
An Olympic announcement too, possibly. Yes. So how about tonight, Kingy, given we don't have a grand final to look forward to in a couple of days' time, we run an advanced grand final preview, if you like. I'm interested in best hands. Like if Luke Beveridge and Simon Goodwin are sat across from each other at the poker table like they will... the following Saturday twilight, what does their best hand look like? So you're guaranteed best they get... Everything hand. Works for them. Everything works for them. Oof. They've got the royal flush, if you like. What is it? What are their strengths and what can they bring to the table to upset the other? And then I said we don't have anything to pick, but we do. We've got the Brownlow on Sunday night.
100%.
The Mecca.
I'm looking forward to the Brownlow. I must say that. The Brownlow is one of the great nights. So much suspense. There's always a twist and a turn. Someone gets votes when they shouldn't. Someone misses out when they should get a three.
So normally we're a closed shop here on the Picks, but if I can get the phone box here to work and see who's calling in, we'll throw it open, okay? We've got a couple of technical issues here, King. We'll throw it open, if you like. We'll formulate a Brownlow market. Hey, we could even have a... How successful has our people's multi been this year?
Well, we've had one collect this year, and it was the week that you didn't contribute.
That's not nice.
Factual, but not nice. So maybe we open it up a little bit.
Hail Mary.
We'll have as many legs and we'll throw up a couple of teams and have a chat about those top two or three at the top of the table there, top of the list.
Most votes for your club, perhaps. We'll drill into that. And we've got the slam dunk. Dunk McRae's going to join us shortly. So we're giving him a little bit of homework. He'll contribute to the multi as well. So if we can get phone box up and running here, we'll get some people if they can ring in 1-300-736-736 or the temper text 0433-98-1116.
So my theory, and this is the little we did this with quite speed before, but my theory is that the supporters say the Collingwood supporters they've watched their team every week and they've analysed and they've projected about where De Goey is going to vote or where Adams is going to vote. Jack Crisp had a fantastic first half of the season. Who would they be selecting? Who would they? And when we get some feedback, we'll throw them in. So we might have 8 or 9 legs tonight. Jared Waitley went with a 9 legger today with his Brownlow multi.
Can we beat that?
Well, let's just get it.
Phone box is fired up. Beautiful. It has come to life. It is a sign. La la. So
I was on fire.
Let's get some interaction, hey? As Love I say, it. We're normally a closed shop. Let's get it cracking. Hey, John's rung in, speak of the devil. Taylor's Lakes on the phone box. He's got a thought on the Brownlow before we get into the news of the day and the week. How you doing, Johnny? Welcome.
G'day, Sam. G'day, Kingy. How you going, boys?
Yeah, we're well. Brother. So you got a thought on the, I guess, the timing of footy's biggest individual award?
Yeah, I'm just thinking the Brownlow, as we know, it goes normally on a Monday night. It's a work night and we have to stay up very late. I love the Brownlow. I don't miss it. I'll watch it till the end. But why can't we have it as a highlight on a Saturday night this weekend where you could have a few beers?
Get on the beers.
Watch Brownlow. Sorry?
Sorry, that was the Premier. Carry on.
Just the Premier getting you on the beers. Sorry.
And you could sleep in on Sunday morning. Sunday night, you're up till bloody midnight watching the Brownlow.
Yes.
You've got to get up and go to work Sunday.
No jokes, Johnny. Before we came on air, David King was singing from the exact same hymn sheet. This is music to his ears. You said Friday night, Saturday night, same difference.
Friday. I reckon Friday's fantastic time to have it. Big start to the weekend. Everyone will be looking forward to it. Everyone's locked in anyway. There's nothing happening.
Yeah.
No one's going anywhere. So why not put it on a Friday night so we're ready to roll and you could really enjoy it and revel in it for the weekend rather than having to limp your way to work on the Monday. Fantastic.
Well, good call, Johnny. It's not a bad point either. Right, so some of the news of the day. In fact, news just as we were coming.
You didn't give me the same love you gave Johnny.
No.
But you clipped me hard.
I didn't clip you hard.
You did say, oh, it's a big ratings event and it's on a Sunday night and it's right through the roof and you want to put it on a Friday when people got things on.
Is that how I talk?
Their minds are elsewhere.
Right, anyway, thanks for the call, John. Forward Tom McDonald. What a difference a year makes. He's just signed a 2-year deal to stay on at Melbourne. This time last year, they couldn't get him out of the joint.
2-year.
Yeah, they couldn't get him out of the joint. He was forced to stay on a pretty good wage after an underperforming season. But, geez, he stripped the weight, got back to that mobility, the up and back, and has had a real impact this year. So he's put pen to paper on a 2-year deal that takes him through to 2024 at Melbourne.
Any idea on finance?
I don't have any idea on finance, no. But I'm wrapped for him because, as I say, it's been a fair old roller coaster for Tommy McDonald, and he's going to find himself in a grand final.
I just won $250,000. I'm not joking.
A week and a half's time. Rod's on fire tonight. Brad Scott, he's joined the AFL under a widespread restructure of the league's football department. He was linked to the current coaching position, your mate Kingy, but he's going to move to AFL House in the newly created role of General Manager Football. Speaking of North Melbourne, the former head of football operations at the Kangaroos, Laura Kane, has been appointed General Manager Competition Management, and they'll both report to Andrew Dillon, who has been the fill-in Executive General Manager Football. That will become permanent under a revised portfolio that includes football operations, legal and integrity. So a big restructure there, but Brad Scott has taken the job. We all suspected he might have, and he's moved across from AFL Victoria.
So just inform me on the job that Steve Hocking had versus the job that Brad's taking. What are the fundamental differences? What's the key?
Well, it's been split up, basically, is the simplest way to put it. Steve Hocking spoke upon his exit saying he was just simply cooked. 4 years in that job, it was all-encompassing, all-involving. He's on the record of saying it was probably too much. Well, they've sought to restructure that. So each of those three will have their own different portfolios. But Brad Scott, from memory, I think he's looking after Tribunal. He's looking after umpires. He's looking after...
Umpires?
Yeah, umpires.
That's interesting.
He got a fine back in the day, didn't he?
Got a severe fine.
A big one.
Yeah.
Was that when he got some bad information around...
on the ball!
Lindsay Thomas. Lindsay Thomas.
The umpires... I think he was told that an umpire said to a player that we're not paying free kicks to him or something to that effect.
Yeah. Off the text, Hocking was ruined. He was, and he's about to be the... he's got some big decisions to make down at Geelong, though, as the incoming CEO for Brian Cook down there. Brad Scott did speak today. Of course, lots of people wondering, well, where does the game go from here, given he has the keys now? He spoke around potential rule changes.
Steve Hocking's... he's going to leave a lasting legacy on the game. I think the game looks fantastic. I think everyone would agree that the standard of footy this year has been exceptional, and Now, my personal view, without having started in the role yet, is that Steve Hocking's done a lot of the heavy lifting and he's instituted a lot of change, which probably needs some time to be consolidated before we look at further tweaks. But that's not to say that, you know, we're always, you know, watching and need to stay ahead of the game and making sure that, you know, it's a really compelling product.
What's that noise? Is that welding?
That, yeah. Well, the first thing that he will do, because we know he's not a fan of the roof opening at Marvel.
He's up there now welding. Remember he's welding it shut.
Yeah, it'll never open again. do you remember when he went off?
Why is the roof open?
Graham's, I can't think of his surname, the AFL official, gave him a hammering. I think he was 5 or 6 goals up against his brother one game at Marvel there, and the rain come in and the Kangas lost the game and he abused the guy for having the roof open.
I like that. So people are talking about whether the stand rule is going to remain a protected zone. It's probably going to be, is the roof going to be welded shut permanently for Brad Scott?
Am I going to have to worry about him running through me again or not?
Do you reckon he'll like, is he?
I have to turn around this time.
Are you broken bread, you too?
No, what's the point? He knows how I feel and I'm pretty sure I know how he feels.
So he's in a real position of influence here as well. So you might find yourself having a bit more to do with him than what you were at AFL Vic.
No. What am I going to do with
him? I don't know.
So he's in charge of the umpires.
You've got no friends.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the umpires.
That's one of the...
The MRO?
Yep. And, there's 5 or 6 bullet points. I haven't got them in front of me.
They're the big yeah. ticket items to correct in the off-season, aren't they?
I'll pull them up while we speak.
So the MRO, do you think the MRO will stay as a one-person operation? Because it's a tough job.
In terms of Chriso doing it?
Just Chriso. Do you need to have 2 or 3 people there to sort of spread the pain, if
well,
you like?
Steve Hocking did do it with him. I mean, his job was to go through the games, but it was done in consultation. So Brad Scott's portfolio, umpiring, talent pathway, so Tristan Salter makes way there. So that's NAB League Academies, diversity programs, second tier, the like. Game analysis, which is a big one, list management, MRO, tribunal, and the ARC. Competition committee and player education. So I suppose, as you say, the big ones there are the MRO, the tribunal, the umpires as well, and the talent pathways, which has had its challenges, obviously, in light of COVID, that a lot of, in club land, they were most unhappy with some of the changes that were made.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because Brad's been, and Chris, to throw a couple in there, Alistair Clarkson, the same, they've been extremely vocal on parts of the game for years. So I wonder how he'll go with some of the statements that he's made in the previous 3 to 4 years as to whether that'll institute some change. It'd be very interesting to watch.
I won't read that text out, but I'll read this one out. Mark is texting, did the maths, this is regarding the Brownlow, which we'll break down a little bit later. Did the maths on Cam Guthrie, definitely worth a top 10 bet. I have him getting over 25 votes. If he's someone who attracts votes, and if Menegola isn't, as not many others to take votes off him based on stats alone. That's from Macca up in Avoca.
Well, I'm going to put Macca in our multi. He's going in.
For Cam Guthrie.
Macca.
Good on you, Macca.
Avoca. Now I'll
scribble
have to
him
get
down.
His number off the text there.
We can get that.
So he's got Cam Guthrie to get the most votes for the Cats.
Okay.
He's in.
Macca, you're in. So should we be, well, normally, when we're successful, we'll let you know.
Normally we have a four-legger. There's no rules today. This could be
be huge.
This could be huge, and they'll split the cash.
Well, I know you've got Jared's 9-legger inside as well, yeah. So we need to work quickly. Hey, Bridie O'Donnell has quit as Collingwood director. Gee whiz, what about this, Kingy? 4 months after her elevation to the Pies board came with doubts over her eligibility, maybe also who she barracked for as well. But this a sudden resignation comes after another Instagram post from the weekend in which she was cheering on the Western Bulldogs, something that former President Eddie McGuire last night described as ill-advised. So Collingwood said Dr. O'Donnell was leaving to focus on her career with Victoria's Department of Health. But regardless, I suppose another messy chapter in this messy saga that is the Pies boardroom battle. So the former club lawyer Francis Galbally is looking to spill the entire board still. And the wannabe president Jeff Brown is still gunning for a seat on it, Kingy. So never a dull moment at Collingwood.
Been a successful position that they've filled there, hasn't it? It's been a hoot. That's been a mess since minute one, hasn't it?
It has been. Yeah, it has been.
So whose decision was it to go down that path? And surely that person comes under a fair bit of heat. Is that Mark Corder?
I think it's Mark Corder. It's the president. Tasmanian government has rolled over the contracts belonging to Hawthorn and North Melbourne, so footy will be played in Tassie next year. Peter Gutwin announced that in Parliament this morning, Kingy. So the Hawks will play their four games in Launceston. The Roos, their four games in Hobart. It's worth around $8 million combined to the two clubs. We know that Premier Gutwin had refused to budge on those deals until a timeline was set for a decision on a Tasmanian AFL team. He has that now. It'll be made by the AFL by early next year. So he's rolled over the contracts for one more. So good news for the footy fans of Tasmania, because didn't they get behind the game this year and the two finals down there as well? Magnificent.
Yeah, and it's going to take time. I think they've made their point known. Everyone's well aware of how serious they are now as an entity, and I think it's great. It's really good, and let's get an answer for them. I don't know whether it's likely to come in the next 5 to 10 years, but you'd hope that they get an answer. It might not be the one they want, but if it is, terrific. Get organised, but keep footy down there in the meantime. I mean, I know it's a big spend, and I get that they're not their own teams in terms of Hawthorn and the Kangaroos, but you've still got to present football in front of those kids. They've still got to see it. They've still got to have it as part of their week if they're to aspire to becoming AFL players. And the pathway is, I remember back at the start of the early 2000s, there were so many gun kids coming from Tasmania.
Yeah.
We sort of haven't had that volume of recent times. So hopefully we can get that going again as well.
Indeed. Speaking of getting things going, this man's always going at this time. We love having him on. Yeah. Slam Duncan McRae. And he joins us all thanks to Bluebet. You can bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download apps today and gamble responsibly. We're going to have an early look at the grand final market and the Brownlow as well with the Slammer. Welcome, Slammer.
Yeah, good evening, Kingy Sammy. I'm well, thanks, boys. You must be pumped up. Brownlow nearly here. Grand final sold out. We're just stuck in lockdown, but boys, so we'll be watching from afar.
Well, we're running a bit of an organic Brownlow multi here, yes, if you like, Dunk. And we're just going to let it flow and see where we get to. Tell us what the market's looking like for the Brownlow, perhaps for the win. Let's start with that at the moment.
Yeah, Ollie Wines is a favourite, boys. It's 315, 360 for Clayton Oliver. Marcus Bontempelli, 425. He was favourite for most of the year, pretty short too. Jack Steele at 650. Christian Petrarca at $15. I know Kingy liked him. I had a little peanut on myself after he tipped it to me. And Sam Walsh and Darcy Parrish at $23, boys. So all the money at the top of the market for Ollie Wines and Clayton Oliver.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, we're going to go a little bit lateral today, Slam Dunk. We're looking for each club has obviously a handful of representatives. We're looking for the top polar from those clubs. Have you got a club in mind or a player in mind that you can fatten the multi for us?
Boys, I'm going to stick with the grand finalists. What a year they've had, the Bulldogs. I'm going to go Tom Liberatore at $2.80. He's a great player, got a great name and a great mo, so I think he'd stand out for those umpires. So I'm going $2.80 for Tom Liberatore.
Don't mind that. That's a shrewd league of the multi, I reckon, Kingy. What are your thoughts?
Now, Dunk, I just want you to keep a close eye on Liber, because on his left calf, he's got a tattoo that's been replicated or what would you call it, mimicked off a photo of one of his best mates. When his best mate was in England, I think he was in London. And he was missing him, so he got his head put on his calf.
There you go.
Oh, now he runs the Ascot, I think, that's the Vale Hotel.
Very nice piece of
trivia. Any reason it was on the calf, King?
Well, I think he was trying to hide him when he could hide him, and when he didn't want to hide him, he could unveil him. It depends how the relationship was going.
Hey, Dunk, give us a look at the grand final market, if you will. Obviously, more than a week out still. I think it's the one that we perhaps wanted. Not offending Geelong supporters there or Port Adelaide supporters, but two best teams for the majority of the year. What's the market looking like?
Yeah, the Demons are favourite, boys, with Bluebet in the head-to-head. $1.65, $2.25 for the Bulldogs. They're actually in from $2.30. But good money for Melbourne at the -7.5. That's $1.85, +7.5. for the Bulldogs. So I think that market will pretty much stay solid, but the D's will go into, how many years, Kingy, since 39, is it?
No, nah, more than that.
64 was their last premiership.
Yeah, long time.
He's old close, so obviously the D's, you know, pumped up for a big game and they'll start favourites to win the flag.
Go D's!
Before you get going, how are we sitting with the Melbourne Storm? Are we still confident with the Storm now that Parramatta have lost their way, Penrith have lost their way of fraction?
Well, I'm a big Bunnies fan, boys, so I hopefully meet you there. We haven't beat the Storm in 10 years, so that's pretty good for us. But They've got the week off. They've been the best team for the last 20 years. They're $2.30 to win the competition. Penrith on their side of the draw now. They're going to get through Parramatta and Storm, definitely the favourites, boys, and they'll be hard to beat.
And Dunk, we love a crack on the Norm Smith medal here. Yeah. It's a tradition. What's the market looking like for best on ground in the grand final Saturday week?
Yeah, boys, well, the Norm Smith, it is Christian Petrarca. He's the favourite at $6. Clayton Oliver at $7. Maxi Gawn at $8, along with Bontempelli. Then we got to $15 for Bailey Smith. And my man, Thomas Liberatore, $21. So there's the Norm Smith, boys.
$20. That's nice.
Yeah, it is. Beautifully done, Slammer. Great to talk to you again. We can't wait. The countdown's on. And you're joining us all thanks to Bluebet. Bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download the apps today. Gamble responsibly. Have yourself a good evening, mate.
Take care, boys. Take care. Thank you.
Duncan McRae there from the Cheeky Little Bluey joining us, Kingy. And Maureen Fitzroy's just texted in. Kingy, just loved having so much of your analysis this year. As a Pies fan, it's Maynard or Crisp for most votes for me.
Crispy or Maynard? Who do you think? Crispy had a good first.
Well, Marie's named Maynard first. Maybe we'll see if she can clarify that.
Marie,
if you're still listening, Marie.
You're going to have to pick between your kids here.
Give Maynard us a nomination, Marie, and we will chuck you into the multi, the organic people's multi Brownlow edition here on the picks.
So Duncan McRae has gone with Libba. That's without Bontempelli and McRae in the running. So it's without those two.
Yes.
So we just had to nominate that.
Okay.
Bailey Smith. Libba. Bailey Smith.
Libba, 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 Libba.
So Bailey Smith was favourite, but Libba, 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 right behind him.
Well, we'll take a break. There's a text just coming on Callum Coleman-Jones, who's headed to your old club, King. We might talk about in a minute. You're listening to The Pick. Sam Edmund, David King. Stay with us. Back with more after this.
On SEN, The Picks with David King and Sam Edmund.
Oh, yes, our people's multi, David King, Brownlow style, just taking ominous shape. I think it's going to be big. Dwayne has texted in from Warragul. Luke Parker from the Swans needs to factor into the multi. Get him down if you can, Kingy. Luke's text in. I think Aaron Hall can storm home with three vote games at the back end and Pip Ben Cunnington. So you can jot that one down. That's from Luke in Melton. And Marie in Fitzroy, we've done. We haven't even got to our predictions yet.
Well, Marie's going to have to come back to me with narrowing the focus.
Okay. She's gone Maynard or Crisp. We need
her. We're not hedging. We just need it straight up. Thanks, Marie.
If only it were that simple. Yeah. So we're putting together a big multi here. What's our contribution to the multi financially?
Well, our friends from Bluebet are throwing in a couple of hundred.
And solid.
So I haven't factored in the last one, Luke, from Melton, you just gave me. Who did he put in?
He's gone for Aaron Hall, storming home.
Aaron Hall. I haven't got Aaron Hall in yet. I'm just going to tidy up the book. So five legs are up to $18 already.
Now, I personally cast my eye to the Gabba. You talked me out of this. I like Dane Zorko at $9. Third on the line of betting at the Lions. He won the best and fairest. He's a proven vote getter. He catches the eye. He had 555 disposals this year and kicked 20-odd goals, but you talked me out of that.
So that's okay. So you're basically just putting that on the record so that if it happens, you're going to pick me apart.
Putting it
week.
On the record because it's fact.
Oh, my God.
And so we've gone with Darcy Parrish, $1.60, the favourite at Essendon for the most votes. Had a blinding season. So competition maybe from Zach Merritt and then not a lot else. Maybe Jake Stringer comes home with a rush. But I'm going Darcy Parrish for my contribution to these.
Yeah. Okay,
Darcy. Luke's just texted in. Zorko, huge value. Most votes for Brizzy. Good on you, Lucas. I'm with you.
Well, Aaron Hall's $13 to get more than Ben Cunnington and Jai Simkin. Can we put that in? I'm going to have the...
You've got discretion.
Yes. So I'm just going to put a question mark next to that.
We're barracking for the win here, aren't we?
We just need a result.
So the Brownlow's on Sunday night, which you're not happy with, and I think John wasn't happy with either. Just while you get your contribution to the multi sorted out, Hamish McLaughlin was on with Jared Waitley this morning, and he talked through how Brownlow Medal Night is going to look.
So the function that is at Optus Stadium will have a palladium-like feel to it, and that'll be hosted by Basil Zemplis over there to a live audience. Within Optus Stadium, you've then got the two grand final teams in separate rooms, It can't go into Optus Stadium, the main function at Optus Stadium. You've then got an opportunity, and it's not settled yet, that if the winner comes from the Bulldogs or Melbourne, do they then go into the main room to get the medal or not? Still to be decided. Adelaide has a function. Sydney can't because they're in complete lockdown. Melbourne, which is where I'll be, will be in that sort of Olympic-style Friday night football set. with, I think there are eight players. All of the players that are favoured to do well will be with me. The mark of the year and the goal of the year will be decided that night. And depending on the where the winner is, we'll cross to them. It's got some complications to it.
Yes.
There's a reliance on technology.
There you go. That was Hamish McLaughlin with Gerard Whateley this morning. So it's going to be different, and not the first time we've said that. So, Kingy, who do you like? Who's your contribution?
Well, I've been talked into one. So if you look at Carlton without Sam Walsh, okay, so Walsh is going to scoop the pool. Every game they win this year is getting three votes. So it's basically a choice of three: Harry Mackay, Ed Curnow, or Paddy Cripps. I'm going with Big Harry. $2.40, I think he's a good bet.
Mm. Coleman medalist.
Big Harry for me, because his big games are big. He may only need to get seven or eight votes to come second at Carlton.
Mm.
So that's enough for me. If he pinches a couple of three voters, I think he kicked a seven this year. He kicked a five.
Yep.
So that might be enough to get him to five or six votes in isolation those two games. So that's my contribution. H. McKay without Sam Walsh.
Let's let it build, shall we? Keep your texts coming through. Make sure you leave your name so we know who we're putting your contribution behind. Make sure you leave your name and we'll chuck you in, Kingy's discretion, into the People's Multi Brownlow Edition. We'll break down the grand final a little bit later as well, but got a text in here. Hi, guys. Just wondering what you think it will cost North Melbourne to get Callum Coleman-Jones across the line in regards to draft picks, etc. This shapes, I would argue, was a pretty big coup, Kingy. Not because of what Callum Coleman-Jones could become, but because here is a contending side wanting to keep a player, and you've got a side like North Melbourne, who are starting again, who have managed to get him out of there. I think it's big.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen every day.
Well, how would you... What's your sell? Okay, so there's clubs, say the Gold Coast versus
opportunity.
North Melbourne. Just opportunity.
Well,
he's got opportunity where he is.
Does he? No, he doesn't.
Well, what's he played?
He's played nine games in 4 years. He's got no opportunity, and he's got Ivan Soldo coming back from injury. He's got Toby Nankervis going nowhere. He's got Tom Lynch going nowhere. He's got Jack Riewoldt, who's re-signed.
But Goldstein, what about Todd?
Well, Goldstein's 33 years of age, definitely close to the end and the beginning. So if you're going to compare Gold Coast, as you mentioned, Jared Witts, 4 years his junior, and a co-captain, I think, as well. So perhaps you're just looking at it, planning for the future and thinking the offer's good, it's 4 years, the money's reasonable without, I don't think, being stupid from a North Melbourne perspective, and I'm going to be playing.
So, all right, so just entertain this for a sec. So does this have any ramifications for Todd Goldstein? Did they offer him up? So say they offer, they say to Geelong or another club that's right on the edge without
a ruckman.
He's been
so loyal.
I'm just asking the question.
It's funny you mentioned Geelong because, you know, they did come for him last year or the year before.
And it's the role they have never been able to fill.
And it was a big offer too. I reckon it was a 4-year offer at Geelong, and he turned it down. And he stayed loyal. So I can't see him going.
He can play forward, Todd.
Do you think he could move?
I think play him forward, give Larky a bit of a chop out, another tall target down there. And he did some things this year, Goldie, where he actually surprises a couple. I'm not saying he's going to go forward and kick 40-plus goals. He's not. But that's not where the Kangaroos are at anyway. So maybe just do everything you can to get CCJ, offer him the number one ruck role.
Is that what you, yeah. So maybe, just spitballing, they've said to him, you come across, you're going to play every week, but you're going to play ruck more often than not. We're going to sort of wax and wane with Goldie, but he'll primarily play forward. It's you're the big banana.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you've got to, at this stage of your rebuild, you've got to give a bit. You've got to give a bit to get something. So, you know, clearly it's a good financial deal. It's a 4-year deal. So there's some security for the player. If you're going to leave a club that's going to be a contender, you need to ensure that you're actually playing.
Yeah.
Give this kid a chance to go and make a name for himself. Well, where do you sit with Caroline Wilson saying the other night that he owes the club?
There wouldn't be too many players who would owe a club with that sort of resume, as I said. Nine games, 4 years? I wouldn't have thought he owes them anything. And I know she was referring to the incident up on the Gold Coast last year. But, gee, nine games in 4 years? I mean, no guarantee that you're going to break in again next year with a contract that's good to go? I don't have any problem with that from a loyalty perspective.
No, I don't think you can ask a player to stay and not play AFL football just because they made a couple of mistakes.
Mm.
Why do you want to give me a bit of money?
Jeremy Finlayson could leave GWS. His management told the Giants, going back a fair way here, Kingy, actually, a fair bit earlier in the season, that he might look to move to get some more family support for his little girl, his firstborn child, with his partner Kelly, who's from South Australia, Port Lincoln. So he's done a medical at Port Adelaide. Not sure how he lands at Port Adelaide or whether that was just the power tick in the box given in these COVID times. Jeremy Finlayson was passing through and it was easy for them to do. Plenty of medicals don't go anywhere, I suppose. He could end up in Melbourne as well. He's got some family support here, I understand. Or, as the Giants say, he could completely stay because they're not forcing him out. They want him to stay, something that he and his family have to work out. Quinton Narkle, things could always change. Sounding really positive he's going to stay at Geelong, though. All the talks are progressing well there. Yeah, I know. There's been such wild speculation for 2 years. But I spoke to Ralph Carr, his manager, today. He said they're well and truly operating in good faith. Geelong have been great. He was full of praise for them and everything was looking positive. So if they get the deal done there, he's staying.
That would be a turnaround, wouldn't it? If they're going to stay, they need to play these kids. And maybe you do have to find other roles for those warriors that have been so good, like Selwood. Even Menegola and even Paddy Dangerfield at times. You know, maybe protect them until the back half of the season. Get some games into these kids, because our friend on Twitter there, Sir Swamp Thing, he put out a 23 and under games played volume this year in the 2021 season. And not only were they last, they were clearly last. It was like about 160 games in total put into the 23-year-old and under bracket. So you've got to find out.
Yeah.
Like, you've absolutely got to wring the rag dry on what these guys have got, find out where they can play. Are they a midfielder? Are they a forward flanker? Are they a back flanker? Can you maximise those early picks that you've invested in? Like, Jordan Clark's a fascination for me. I don't know. I don't know if he's an AFL player or not. I really don't. I don't know if he's a potential to become a star, because you just don't see him for long periods in terms of 4 to 5 weeks in a row, and you don't see him in one position locked down for a full game.
Let's continue this discussion after the break. Love your feedback as well. Keep the text coming through on the Temper text machine. Temper, a mattress like no other. 0433 98 11 16. It's great to have your company here on the Picks, and it's all made possible by our great friends at Bluebet. You can bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download apps today. Gamble responsibly.
On SEN, the Picks with David King and Sam Edmund.
Oh, yes, welcome back. I'm up and about. I didn't fall for it again, Kingy. Nah. That's 2 weeks in a row for me, the old
special
double intro back from the ad break. Looking forward to getting your early thoughts on the grand final and if this is a game of poker between the two coaches and they've got their best hands, how it sort of looks. But Frog's called in from Spotswood. Great to have him on the line. I think he wants to talk Kangas. G'day, Frog.
G'day, boys.
What do they call you, Frog?
It's a long story, Kingy.
Okay.
I've been called it a long time, but anyway.
Fair enough.
Since he was a... Yeah, anyway, keep going.
Tadpole.
We've got that Edwards as well, haven't we? From the Kingas?
Yeah, the mid-year selection, the mid-year acquisition, who they said was probably a top 15 pick. Is that right, Sam? Top 10, top 15?
I believe
15?
That was the male at the time.
Jake Edwards?
Jake Edwards?
Yeah. Ruckman, left footer, did a couple of things. I saw him steer a couple of goals through late in one of the early practice match games to win them the game. So he's shown a little bit.
Yep.
You happy with that?
We're playing finals next year, Kingy.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Well, that would be ahead of time, Frog. I mean,
love your optimism, Frog. What do you think? What do you think of Callum Coleman-Jones coming across?
I think it's fantastic. I reckon we just needed that third tier. We've got Zerha and Larky, the Suva, and yep, that's going to be a great addition.
Yep. Well, we know, I saw this online. You'll like my lies, King. We know Callum Coleman-Jones likes a kebab. How's he go next to a Suv Larky?
Next to Suva. I like it.
Yeah, Can't take credit for that one. I'm not that clever.
No, that's all right. It's still humorous. I think if you're going to do a proper rebuild, you need to be able to steal a couple of tools from somewhere. They make such a difference.
Well, they're really keen on the draft, North Melbourne, which you can understand. So, one, they're going to take Jason Horne-Francis at this stage. 20, they'll want to take to the draft. So they're building from the ground up, and they've got a clear path. But they're big in the free agency space. I mean, I know they had a massive crack at Josh Kelly, of course, and missed out. But I think free agency wise, they've been pretty active. I don't know if Jake Kelly might have been on the radar for a time.
Yeah.
In the trade space, I'm monitoring Sam Wiedem and Ed Richards. But anyway, to get Callum Coleman-Jones across is
you
good.
You just got to get one. If you can get one, it just takes the pressure off the list build. So to have someone that potentially could replace Goldie, I don't know how good CCJ's going to be. I really don't. But Richmond loved him. They loved what he was able to do. I saw him play a practice match up at Wangaratta 2 years ago, and he caught everything. He took a couple of the biggest contested marks you've seen. Was 40 degrees. He was getting around the ground beautifully. So I'm just hoping that he can show us what he's got. Whether it's an elite level player or just a very good solid AFL player, that'll do.
Yep.
That'll be enough to help fill the pieces.
A lot of people asking what the trade looks like. I mean, who knows from here? I think obviously it's they've got 38 as well. I think the Kangaroos will trot off of that. Richmond will ask for more. I mean, he's out of contract,
right, isn't it?
I think so. And people saying yes, he can go to the preseason draft. I think that's not what the player or the club would want. They'll try and do a trade in good faith, but of course that option is open to North Melbourne to walk him there, given they've got the first pick.
Any more news on Chera?
No, we're waiting. Carlton, obviously, in the box seat, but Melbourne have come hard as well. But we're in the dark as to what Melbourne are prepared to offer to make this trade up. And I think that's why Adam Chera hasn't nominated a club yet, because there's a decision to make there.
Right.
Just if he's able to make one, and Melbourne can make a trade possible with Fremantle.
I know we're backing over a couple of newsy things, but is there any information on Carlton?
In the Adam Chera sense?
The coaching sense?
The coaching sense, no. We just wait. We just wait. We know that Michael Voss has been approached. Daniel Jean Syracuse has been approached. They're well down the line. We know it's a short list. That's what Greg Williams, the footy director, told us. Kingsley, Voss, Jean Syracuse. So we know that Ross Lyon said no.
Is Uzi in that discussion?
Oh, you'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have to think so. So for all this, it might end up being a first-time coach. They're going through the process as we speak, and they need a CEO as well, Kingy, given that Brian Cook has been contacted, but we've heard nothing from. Now, the grand final on Saturday week. The line, thanks to Bluebet, we heard from Dunk McRae earlier, 7.5 to the D's, thanks to Bluebet. You can bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download the apps today and gamble responsibly. And don't forget, Kingy, I know you wouldn't, but the famous 40 Winks 40-hour sale is on right now. So a bit of an early look at this grand final. I think we're going to have a clean bill of health, which is great. All the players under an injury cloud. That's one thing about the 2 weeks. If there was any doubt, they're going to be fine and good to go. So the Stephen Mays of the world, Latham Vandermeer, Alex Keith, etc. But everything goes right for the coaches on grand final day in terms of getting their best hands, and they bring their best weapons to the table.
So before the actual game starts, are you making any change?
No.
Is Hibbard still in over and above Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I think so.
Okay. I think they like Smith's speed. He's a tall. He can free up Lever a little bit. You can get some luxuries in terms of what you do with Lever if you've got the extra tall down there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that played on Charlie Cameron, so he can play on smalls. So I think Smith will come back in.
Okay.
Which is devastating for the player that always...
Oh, there's going to be a...
It's a hard luck story.
A bit like the Dogs too. Yeah. Johannes might be said, or it might be the medical sub. And who do they take out of that back line to get Alex Keith back in?
Any
is
rules?
Cordy or Gardner?
Any rules on the medical sub during the grand final?
Come again?
Well, if you're two goals down halfway through the third and you're needing a bit of run,
Kingy,
would you just risk the fine?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
That's why you're not coaching?
No. Well, it's not up to the coaches. It's up to the doctors. And their whole reputation and profession is on the line. It's not up to the coaches.
It's a grand final, Sam.
So, well, we need to take a break, but I want this thought to marinate. We'll get a little preview of the grand final in our last segment, just how you think it might play out tactically. And if they both bring their strengths, what do you like? Gorn and Martin. Who does go to Libba? Mm-hmm. Harms or Viney? Do the D's focus on McRae or Bont? You know, Cody Waitman comes back in as well, a real jack in the box. So we'll get your early scouting report on the grand final. You've got one of the shrewdest and sharpest tactical minds in the business, Kingy. Right, we'll take a break. I want to see some texts coming too during the break as well. Read them out on the other side of this. 0433981116 on the temper.
The multi is at $18. That's a good price.
$200.
And even if we put a line through Marie, who didn't come back to us,
and
in
it's
Detroit,
not too late though.
She's going into the multi. She's going to share in the price. And same with Luke at Melton, who said Aaron Hall. I can't have Aaron Hall in there. I'm vetoing that one. But he's in the multi.
Could come back to haunt you.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to take part in the multi, it's not too late.
Give us Zorko either.
Give us your highest star vote getter at any given club and your name. 0433981116 on the Temper text machine. Temper, a mattress like no other. Back with more on the Picks right after this.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
On SEN, the Picks with David King and Sam Edmund.
All right, Kingy. Welcome back to the Picks. Let's have a look at this grand final just very quickly, because we'll delve into it in greater detail this time next week, a couple of days out from the big dance. But what are you thinking here? All the questions I posed earlier. Max Gorn looms as a real threat, doesn't he?
Can't stop him. I mean, he's the one threat that you really find it difficult to navigate around. So they're going to have to accept that he's going to win hit out. They're going to have to accept that he's going to take some contested marks behind the ball and got to limit the damage of the contested marks he takes ahead of the ball in getting into their forward line. So that's one asset that Simon Goodwin has that Luke Beveridge really has to struggle to curtail. What do you do with, in terms of tagging, do you tag Bontempelli? Do you try and tag McRae? Do you go with what you know in tagging Libba?
And who does it, Harms?
Harms to Libba is the logical one, but yeah, McRae and Bontempelli were huge last time they played. Even the small wall. I love what Caleb Daniels does in terms of roaming around behind the footy.
You just like saying small ball.
You never know whether he's half forward or half back or playing in a midfield role. He and Salem are very similar players. So maybe there's an option to have a run with a half forward type or someone that's ready to pounce on those guys once their team gets the ball or the opposition gets the ball. So that would be what I was doing. I was having a quick look this afternoon prior to you calling. Which really threw things
and
up.
And you getting in your car air. And, yeah. You know, chucking it into sixth gear.
You're getting in here quick. it's got a funny sort of sound that the ring would miss, doesn't it?
Sounds a lot like a Ferrari at Monza.
So from round 19 onwards, 18 of Melbourne players have played all games. So they've pretty much had a settled lineup. The Dogs in the same period, they've played the extra game. They've only had 11 players play all games. So I do think that's absolute selection lock. You're not moving the pieces. They've played a lot of football together this year. I like that. I do like that coming into the pointy end.
Who's the one you can count on this week? And it's thanks to one classic lager, a beer you can count on, David.
Who's the one thing
you can count on? Well, maybe a Brownlow flavour. You had something in mind that perhaps Gil McLaughlin. Yeah.
Well, in the entertainment of it all, I want to pose to you an over and under. You're going to get Gil read out. Three votes. Melbourne. How many times is he going to say C?
There's a lot of C's in Melbourne.
Then pause, and you're not going to know whether it's Oliver, Petrarca. Salem will come in there and say
C. Judd.
Spargo.
If Spargo gets votes, it'll destroy the room. But Salem will grab. He'll grab a two voter or a three voter at one stage, and it could impact the
C. Spargo.
How many times will he do the C and then the long pause?
One classic lager, a lot.
How many?
By the end, a lot. I'm going to say half a dozen.
I reckon he'll do it more. I reckon it'll be closer to 10.
One classic lager, one standard drink, and a big 500ml can. It's available at Dan Murphy's and BWS. And a big congratulations to this man, Tony, off the Temper text. You've won a slab of one classic lager, a beer you can count on, available at Dan Murphy's and BWS.
Get
Tony asked,
beers.
Why is Bevo upset with video footage of the beerathon after the Port game? What's his big deal?
Yeah,
and he wasn't happy that got out. A staffer videoed it and got out there.
A former staffer?
Might be. Do you reckon he was unhappy just the image of it or not the fact that it happened? Because this is what
we love
the
it.
Chemistry. This
we
is all the feel good factor in clubs.
Brings us closer to the game.
The connection.
Local footy, that's what we do.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You can win 1 year's supply, one classic lager to the beer. You can count on visit icanwin.com.au. Kingy.
They would have had a cruiser there for you.
Enjoy the week on. Don't drive as fast home as you did to get in here. And we'll see you next Thursday.
See you, mate.
Right here on the Picks. Have a good night.